Hey, man, I'm new at this.
Welcome back. It's The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown on this glorious 1982 Tuesday.
What better way to start hour three than with the Eye of the Tiger?
With the perfect person for this.
That's right, Terrell. Tiger King.
Don't ever mention that show, ever. Ever. Wick Terrell, Red Reporter, joining us now. Hi, Wick.
Oh, Lord, what have I signed up for?
If you don't know by now, you're in trouble. You've been with us for a while. You should know what's going on here. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging in there.
Yeah.
Managed to stay up till the wee hours of the morning last night, actually watching some live baseball.
Okay, let's start there. Now, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Let's start there. We've talked about it on the show already. I made it through about three innings. And I have some very varied thoughts about it, but tell us what you thought about some of it, whatever.
Well, my first reaction was when, after waiting for it to finally be televised on ESPN, the KBO, the Korean Baseball Organization League, I thought it was pretty brilliant that when we finally tune in, there's a rain delay.
Because obviously, yeah, it's 2020.
As if baseball in 2020 needed any more hiccups, we turned into the NC Dinos hosting a rain delay. But it actually ended up being some pretty fascinating baseball. And the KBO's got some good baseball over there. You know, it's not necessarily on par with Major League Baseball. I mean, what is? But the talent level over there is very, very good. They've got a solid 10-team league. And a lot of guys and a lot of overlap with former big leaguers and guys that have gone over there and excelled and come back as well. So it's a high level of play, and it was frankly a lot of fun to watch. I actually found a Twitch stream that was televising the other five games as well, so I was trying to watch as much as I could just to get my fix for the first time in forever.
But holy cow,
that's almost like the old Octobox you get when you're watching Red Zone on Sundays.
Exactly, six
games at once.
This is so, and yesterday was opening day for the KBO, and here's my thoughts about, first of all, the very first batter, and Wick, you'll have to excuse me, I'm not really familiar with their names.
It's probably best to not even try.
But this guy got up, first batter of the season, and hit a screaming line drive into the gap in right center, and the right fielder made a great running catch. And I went, okay, all right.
They're playing ball.
Okay, these guys, yeah. Here's the other overarching thought I had, Wick. Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez doing play-by-play and color from their respective houses for a Korean baseball game. And they were amazing, I thought.
Yeah, I actually flipped over to ESPN a couple minutes before the telecast was supposed to start, and Carl Ravitch was talking to Scott Van Pelt about the entire process of deciding to do this and how much availability they were going to have and how much heads up they had before getting into this. And Carl was pretty frank. He's like, this is not something I'm super prepared for. I know a whole lot about. But he's fascinated with the opportunity, just like all of us who have been itching to watch this stuff, too. So, I thought it was awesome that they were willing to say, hey, it's a little bit out of our comfort zone. Don't really know a whole lot about what we're going to do, but it's baseball. We know baseball, and we're going to watch it and relay it as well as we possibly can that way. And, I thought it came out very honest and very fun in that regard.
And
there were glitches, there were delays and all the above, but it still was just a fantastic way to kind of relay something that we've all been waiting for the longest time.
And I was amazed at how good they were with names. I really was, and how they seemed to know, especially without that much prep time, as he said, how they seemed to know a lot about the teams and what was going on, and I was just really
shout
impressed.
Shout out to everyone behind the scenes with that production
too.
Of it. Yeah, that's got to be, you know.
In all honestly, Ravitch referenced it when he was talking to Van Pelt. He's like, look, I've called Little League World Series for the better part of a decade, mm-hmm. and I've called a lot of games from a lot of countries where I didn't know a whole lot about pronunciations and enunciations and spellings and everything else. And he's like, it was a very big learning process for me to go through that. And he's like, and I kind of tried to tap into that when I was looking at this, because obviously the last thing you want to do is get something wrong or totally botch one. But he's like, you know, it's something that I'm willing to learn if it helps everybody else kind of have the chance to experience it with us.
Yeah. I just thought it was pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And that it's been getting a lot of publicity through the, you know, the app, everything. I've seen it on just different news channels this morning, because mostly because all people want something to talk about instead of just the same old stuff regurgitated. So it's like, oh, baseball, let's show you highlights, even though we don't know what's going on either.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic opportunity for the KBO, in all honesty. You know, having the opportunity to kind of get that exposure for their league and some of those players as well, guys who have, you know, taken the risk to go over there and go out of their comfort zone to play overseas in hopes to revive their big league careers, and now suddenly they're the ones that everybody's tuning in to watch. I think it's a fantastic opportunity all around, and applaud them for their willingness to see if they can make it work, even if it's nothing close to the same product quality as we're used to. It's something, and I think we all kind of needed something at this point, and they recognize that.
It'll be a good bridge to get us there.
I can't remember who it was. Wick will probably know, because he's a general manager, and he's brilliant with baseball. There is some American, I think, pitcher, maybe not, who played over there either last year or for a couple of years, and is just signed with the Brewers for 3 years and $9 million. So
yeah, that was Josh Lindblom,
right? See,
I think he was among the lead leaguers in pretty much everything across the board, pitching wise over there.
Mm-hmm.
The different style of pitching that they emphasize over there, and sometimes, you know, guys who can't necessarily run it up to 98, 99 miles an hour over here kind of get lost in the shuffle as trying to be those power pitchers when they can't do that. Then they get the opportunity to play in leagues where power isn't necessarily the style of pitching, and they realize they've got other secondary offerings that actually play really, really well, tweak their pitch offerings, maybe tweak their delivery a little bit, and suddenly they get a lot more success and come back. You know, it's not just pitchers. You know, Eric Thames came back from completely dominating offensively over there and jumped right into the Brewers lineup 3 years ago and took off, specifically against Reds pitching. Turned into a very lucrative career. The KBO is a fantastic league, and it's a lot of guys that are willing to take that opportunity just to get a few more chances to be a developmental guy that maybe just needed a little bit more time to put things together. But, you know, the list of guys that have come from that league back to Major League Baseball and excelled, it's a who's who. There's a lot of really, really good players that have come out of that league.
It's cool. This is cool. I can't imagine watching the ESPN game and six games on Twitch, but maybe I'll get into it after a little while. All right, let's talk about our Reds and baseball. There's all kinds of, a friend of mine texted me this morning and asked if I thought, you know, what's with these baseball plans, and there's all kinds of things flying around and ideas and when we're going to start. And now that, you know, sports teams, the Dolphins are talking about having fans back and all kinds of stuff. What do you have any more insight into what's going on with Major League Baseball plans?
Not particularly. I feel like I've kind of sifted through all of the rumors that I've heard out there.
Yeah.
Pretty much the gist of it comes down to this. There are proposals out there that are the proposals to get baseball in any form or fashion back as soon as they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are the proposals of getting baseball back as close as they can to what normal baseball looks like. And that's obviously on a slightly more delayed schedule. And I think that's the one that's the most recent one that's popped up, which is three 10-team divisions, kind of blending an Eastern division, a Central division, and a Western division, and having teams play in front of no fans to start, but actually playing in their home stadiums, and doing these kind of geographically region divisions to kind of limit the amount of travel that these teams would have to do. Doing something like that over maybe 100 to 120 game schedule. schedule. That's the kind of thing that obviously would take a whole lot more legwork than isolating people in a big bubble in Arizona and having everybody play every day. You know, this is the kind of plan that seems a little bit more realistic because it would allow players to stay where they actually live and to be with their families as opposed to being isolated out as kind of these test subjects in a bubble. And I think that's something that's got a lot more realistic chance of happening because the MLB Players Association would be willing to say, yeah, we'll do that. The problem with that is that's going to take a little bit longer to get everything put in place before they can get started again. So, I feel like it's kind of this balancing act of getting back as quickly as they possibly can, but then also making it look like baseball as opposed to some, you know, newfangled game that they're just kind of putting together. And it's going to be a real weird push and pull between baseball and the Players Association to kind of find that middle ground.
And the division realignment, it looks really, I like the way it looks. I like the teams that are in each division. The only one that really doesn't make sense to me is Pittsburgh getting swapped to the East and the Braves getting swapped to the Central. I don't quite understand that, but
yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
It keeps those natural rivalries. It keeps the Cubs and White Sox together than the Reds and the Indians. They would play more often this year than they normally do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Reds fan, I think swapping out the Pirates for the Braves would be a little bit frustrating, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
It seems like in these geographic things, they're trying to do the best to keep the kind of natural rivalries going as well. And I think hyping that Philadelphia-Pittsburgh thing was something that they wanted to do. Yeah. Obviously, if you go way back to the early 90s and the old just two-division NL, the Braves and the Reds are both in the National League West, and so those were old rivalries there. I think if you look at that as what we would be facing for a 2020 season, if you're the Reds and there are three divisions and you have no Yankees, no Red Sox, and no Dodgers in your division, you're probably pretty happy with how that shook out. So, yeah, it would certainly make for some interesting baseball. There'd be a lot of rules that they'd have to tweak, DH usage, how big the rosters are, all that kind of stuff. But certainly one that I think the Reds would be willing to say, yep, we'll take that and see what happens.
What about playoffs? How would playoffs work? Would it be a
bracket
style?
Oh, Jimmy, stop it. Don't get that far ahead. Let's get a season
going.
Thinking,
what if we have like a Yankees-Red Sox World Series?
Yeah.
What if that could happen?
Yeah.
Really?
It's going to be strange. You know, one way or another, the 2020 season is going to look completely different than any other baseball season we've seen. That's the question. Is that, and, you know, we were talking about earlier about getting back as quickly as possible versus making it look like real baseball as quickly as possible. You know, how this whole season stacks up in the record books, and whoever technically wins whatever it is they put out there, I think baseball's cognizant of wanting to make it as realistic as possible and not giving somebody a chance to kind of steal a championship when it doesn't necessarily mean as much as it otherwise would, and it's going to take a lot to kind of make sure that happens while also getting it back at a reasonably quick pace.
Here's the thing, though, and we've talked about this numerous times. Every single sport, whether it's collegiate or professional, is going to be totally different this year than ever before and hopefully in the future. And everybody has to accept that and go, okay, you were the champions in 2020. Good for you. You won the whatever World Series there is. Good for you. Now let's get back to the way we think it should be. I mean, it can't be a big deal. The important thing is to get everything back.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. The only caveat that pops up with that is that so many of the contracts that they sign are all dependent on thresholds and numbers and milestones.
Yeah,
and
well.
Like that. And all those things have to get hammered out because that's what the players' union is supposed to do. They're fighting for the contracts and the dollars of their players and trying to make sure that 2020 doesn't indirectly impact certain sets of players forward to the future because of the decisions made in 2020 is something that they've got to be very cognizant of in this process.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of faith in the commissioner, and you know, I mean, I'm sure it'll all get taken care of.
And I'm sure everybody in the country will accept whatever decision is made. Everybody's going to be happy with whatever decision. There will be no complaints anywhere.
Right, definitely.
From groups of fans.
Yeah.
You mean, yeah.
Universal agreement, always. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the way we roll here.
In everything, in every facet of life. All right. Any specific food thing you want to talk about before we let you go? I saw something on your Twitter feed about if you put a pizza face down on top of another pizza, it's a what? What did I see?
A mess.
Is it either a calzone or a pizzadilla?
Pizzadilla.
A pizzadilla.
It all depends on whether the crust is sealed.
Oh, so we need a clamp action. So,
yeah, you have to. You have to.
You didn't think of that, did you, Wick?
No, I think you probably did.
I'm just opening up the realm of thought. That's all it is. That was supposed to be a concrete win. That's.
I know. Yeah, I know. As much of your Twitter feed is, and that's what makes it so entertaining. Always. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Maybe. Do we have any idea about how quickly they're trying to get some kind of plan? Or is this just kind of open-ended and they're working on it?
I think that July is pretty much the consensus earliest date that they could put anything resembling Major League Baseball on the field. I think they realize that early July is probably a push at this point, but I think the month of July is still what everybody's hoping for in terms of actual Major League Baseball games being played, and I hope that's the case. I hope they can figure it out.
Yeah. 4th of July weekend, it's a Saturday. America, let's do it. That's my push. That's all I got.
It's a good thing you're not in marketing, really.
Yeah, but I was enthusiastic.
I was doing the finger thing. You know how politicians, they point their thumb at you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Oh, okay.
So 4th of July, let's try. Yeah,
too bad you couldn't see that, Wick.
We could sense that.
All right.
Got the middle image over here.
All right. Have a good rest of the week and weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal.
No, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Now I want a pizzadilla or something.
Or a calzone.
Yeah.
Either one. He's obsessed with pizza. I mean, we talked to him about that last week. Yeah, about that. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, another clown friend of ours, who's also brilliant, Emilio San Martin, will join us. Also very fun. Have you been keeping up with his cat?
His personal life. I was prying deeply into it.
We'll talk to him about his cats and some sports stuff, too. This is ESPN Sports Radio 1300 92.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.